This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
We talked earlier about Dak Prescott's injury. It was a broken, not a broken bone, but he had surgery to repair an issue with his throwing hand. It's below the joint of the thumb. The initial reports I had heard were 6 to 8 weeks. Dallas not putting him on IR because, I don't know, Dallas, they say 4 weeks. Let's find out a little bit more about the injury. Our friend, Dr. Salen Parekh from Duke University, the official orthopedic surgeon of the Adam Gold Show, joins us. If you're watching on TV, man, you're handsome. How you doing?
Good. How are you, man?
Doing very well.
Tough weekend for me.
Yes. Well, it's... Why was it tough?
Sunday night. My Cowboys fell apart.
Your Cowboys are not good. I knew you were a Yankees fan. I didn't know you were a Cowboys fan, too. My gosh. Yeah. Do you also like Manchester United? Are you just all chalk?
I'm all chalk. All chalk, baby.
All right, explain to me the injury to Dak Prescott and where the Cowboys might be over-optimistic. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter.
So the injury to Dak Prescott seems to be a fracture or a break at the base of his thumb. For the guys who are watching the video, they can see the kind of where I'm pointing. But
right.
If you look at the thumb where it attaches to the rest of your palm, that's where the concern is. And the good news is it wasn't a ligament injury. The bad news is it was a fracture. So they took him to the operating room yesterday. The thought was that it was a clean fracture, so there would be something that could heal pretty reliably in a non-complicated manner. And so the timeline initially was 6 to 8 weeks. Now we hear Jerry Jones saying 4, but I think it's being extremely optimistic under ideal conditions.
How long until Dak could reliably just throw a football without the threat of, you know, contact? How long is that going to take?
So that's the biggest concern here, right? Because the fracture is typically where the ligament that stabilizes that joint. And you're on the inside of your thumb. So when you're gripping the nose of a ball, you need that the thumb to be very stable to be able to grip it and throw it. You really can't do a lot of that tough gripping for at least 3 to 4 weeks. Yeah, you may see Dak throw, but he's not really gripping really hard. So you're looking at 4 weeks, in my opinion, to really grip well, and then you've got to work on the strength and the accuracy again. So I think it's really being overly optimistic for 4 weeks.
So the injury, as it turned out, wasn't maybe as bad as some people had feared. It wasn't any ligament damage, but the Cowboys are saying this is just a 4-week absence. Now put your fan hat on. You got Cooper Rush for this almost looks like it's going to be what everybody originally thought was closer to 6 or 8 weeks. No,
I think it's going to be closer to 6 to 8 weeks. I just can't see a situation where he comes back sooner, unless it's incredibly fast. Obviously, I wasn't in the operating room.
Right.
I don't have privy to all the details, but it just seems for fractures to be stable enough to really stress them, that doesn't typically happen in 4 weeks. So I think you're going to see Cooper Rush 6 to 8 weeks.
Is it something that they can put on his hand even while he's playing? Russell Wilson broke fingers last year and he was able to play. He wasn't great, but he was able to play sooner than they had anticipated. Is there something they can put on his hand that will help, or is it because it's the thumb, you really can't do anything like that?
You got it. It's the thumb, and it's that inside part of the thumb. And so it makes it very difficult to put any protective device on that thumb and allow Dak to still grip in a way that he can feel like he's controlling the ball. So unlike other digits, the thumb, especially that inner injury, becomes problematic.
It's what separates us from, I don't know, dogs. Dogs have no thumbs, but you know this. Dr. Salen Parekh, big Cowboys fan. Yankees fan. You guys have righted the ship in New York, sort of. I think they'll be...
Sort of.
You still have Aaron Judge, who homers basically every day. I thank you very much for your time, sir. I'll be
Thanks,
in touch.
Adam.
We'll talk to you soon. Dr. Salen Parekh, about Dak Prescott's thumb injury. That's a little bit of a problem. All right, let's get to our listener poll. We will go through the options and answer the questions, because this is what we do. Do we have a musical bed we can go to?
Sure, let's find
something fun, something fun for this. We ask four questions before every show. We won't do it on Wednesdays when Chip Patterson is here at 1, and we didn't do it yesterday because we had other things to do, but we'll probably eliminate that at 1 o'clock on Mondays as well. But Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, we also have Minute Takes. So here's what we got. The questions we asked were, what would you like to talk about today at 1 o'clock? The choices were Panthers Week 1, that did not win. Broncos Seahawks did not win. NC State Texas Tech, we'll get back to that. NL East did not win. Yes, process of elimination. NC State Texas Tech.
Yep.
All right, here's what we know. I'm not going to lie and say that I've spent a lot of time researching the Red Raiders, but this is a football program that, whether it was Mike Leach, or do you remember the coach of the Arizona Cardinals?
Oh.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So he used to coach at Texas Tech. So this is a throwing team.
Yes.
And they have totaled about 850 yards passing through 2 weeks. Last week they beat Houston 33-30. It was double overtime, but I think it was 20-20 going into overtime. But they beat a pretty good football team. So at the beginning of the season, we might have all looked at the NC State preseason pre-conference schedule and say, well, they should be 4-0. And I'm not going to say they shouldn't be 4-0. But all thoughts of cakewalk should be eliminated.
Mm-hmm.
This will not be an easy game. They are they can run it, but there is an offense that really wants to throw it. So they're going to put stress on NC State's defense on the outside. We'll see if State can cover, see if they can avoid big plays. But ultimately, and I'll say this a lot about the Wolfpack and their offense needs to be better than it was at East Carolina. I draw zero conclusions from Charleston Southern. Nobody should draw any conclusions from Charleston Southern. It was a wonderful practice.
Yes.
That's all it was. That's good. I'm not bad-mouthing it. It's just you can't draw any conclusions when you physically dominate. So the game, the opener against ECU, is more indicative of what we should be thinking about heading to Texas Tech. I'm a little worried because I didn't like the way they handled their business offensively. They should have been able to gain a couple of yards. When you have first and goal inside the two and you do not advance the ball, and they basically didn't advance it. I mean, all credit to East Carolina, but that's also on a lack of creativity on their offensive game plan. With that said, I gave them the pass because maybe they just weren't showing anything. So we have no idea, but I was a little discouraged by their offense at East Carolina. We'll see what their offense is like against Texas Tech.
I know. Well, after last week with App, I kind of want North Carolina to take over Texas. Like, now it's a North Carolina-Texas thing. Like, let's go. Another week.
Oh, that would be
take
very good.
Take off another Texas team.
That would be very good. But we started at the top.
Yes.
Well, not really. Is it a top? Texas A&M is probably the best team in Texas.
Yeah.
Houston might be the second best team in Texas, which was just beaten by Texas Tech.
Oh, well, there
Who
you go.
Who knows the answer? Texas obviously played very well against Alabama, but we'll see what happens in that game. The other options for us to talk about, Panthers week one, we have spent the better part of the first hour on that. Broncos Seahawks, we talked about that as well. Later on, we're going to talk to Elliot Johnson about the National League East race. Mets and Braves. Braves had an opportunity to pull even in the loss column again last night. Lost at San Francisco 3-2. Mets gave up 5 runs early against the Cubs. There just aren't that many races. Dodgers, by the way, clinched a playoff spot last night. Yes, with 3 weeks left in the season, the Dodgers have already wrapped up a playoff spot.
Yes. Uh-huh.
The division is next, and the division will probably fall in like maybe tonight or tomorrow. They have a huge lead over the Padres. But there really aren't any races left. The Orioles have fallen off the pace, so right now the wild cards are basically jockeying for position in the American League, in the National League. The Braves or the Mets are either going to be the winner of the division or the first wild card. There's really nothing left. Mets-Braves is the race in Major League Baseball right now. Milwaukee is in the mix for the wild card, but they're behind the Padres. It looks like the Braves and the Phillies or the Mets and the Phillies will be the top two wild cards. We're inside of 3 weeks left in the season.
That's it.
Inside of 3 weeks? Inside of 3 weeks left in the season. Said this earlier, I think the ACC has not had a terrible start to the season. We've had terrible starts before. I don't think we are in one. Florida State has looked competent. We haven't seen that in a while. Clemson may be able to work through their issues, maybe with a quarterback change. State's undefeated, albeit they didn't look great in week one. Carolina gives up a lot of yards, but we know how good their offense is. We have a lot of things, I think, to be happy about. Duke's undefeated. Wake's undefeated. Syracuse is killing everybody. The man, the myth, the legend, Wes Durham, voice of the ACC. Our second consecutive Elon grad on the program.
Whoa, wait a second. Hold on.
Julian Council.
I'm in the box here. Julian Council.
Julian Council. Okay. There you go. Oh, look at this. Council. We even have a chyron of your name at the bottom. Wes Durham, ACC Network. That's fantastic.
Yes.
What an outfit we're running here. For those people who are just listening on the radio, I mean, you got to get to WRAL Sports Plus so you can see this. Wes, you look fabulous.
How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I was prepared for this to be a dreadful start to the season, and maybe it's just that Florida State escaped and they look competent for the first time in a while, but I actually feel pretty good about the way the league has started this year, even though we've had some hiccups. What's your overall view of what we've seen?
I think we've kind of exchanged a couple schools and places for other schools. I think Duke certainly is playing a lot better than I think we all anticipated early from Mike Elko, and rightly so. I was impressed in doing the Temple game about the vibe around that program. So I think you've exchanged Duke in Florida State, maybe for BC and Virginia. Does that make sense?
Sure. I like that trade-off, by the way.
Yeah, well, I think so for Florida State, for sure. And I thought Mike Norvell was due. I think he's been through more than most realize. Some do, most don't.
Right.
I think we've still got some road to hoe. I think Saturday night at College Station is big to deliver the knockout blow to this greatest 8-win-per-year program in the history of college football. I mean, I just don't know where the – and I'm going to give you an AP poll example.
Sure.
Okay? And Roddy Jones and I have these spirited discussions during the week that, unfortunately for folks, never make air on Saturdays.
Oh, man.
And the one yesterday had to do with the drop that Pitt took in the Associated Press poll after losing in overtime to Tennessee compared to the drop that Florida took after losing at home to Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
Okay, like Pitt dropped, what was it, 13? They went to 23 or 24 from like 12,
right?
They dropped 11 spots or something like that. Florida loses at home to Kentucky. And Florida dropped like, what, 10, 5, something silly. And I'm thinking to myself, what are we doing here? I mean, Dabo Swinney had just finished telling us in production meetings on Friday, nationally, things are determined by the logo on your helmet.
Yes.
And you know what? I always kind of didn't want to buy into that. But even with the AP poll, I think that sometimes the logo on your helmet does do some things.
Oh, sure.
I think that, look, I actually think Pittsburgh's going to be okay, assuming Keaton Slovis comes back.
Yeah.
But I think the league's off to a really good start. Absolutely.
Yeah, look, we'll get to the Miami game at Texas A&M in a second.
Okay.
My feeling as a former voter, first of all, I never liked the preseason poll anyway because we haven't seen any of these teams play. It's just a guess. But fine, I get it. We have to do this because it's fun. So preseason vote, and then we should not send another ballot in until the month of September is over, when we've seen a bunch of teams play and we can get an idea. For instance, a lot of voters, after Utah went to Florida and lost to the Gators, a lot of voters still had Utah ahead of Florida,
which doesn't
make a ton of sense.
No.
But maybe they're not. Maybe Florida's not better than Utah. They just won a game. So I'd rather see games played before we have another. Like, otherwise, we just get, like, crazy being angry for no reason.
Right. I don't disagree. I mean, I think that what you're talking about is that, and I hate to say this to Ralph Russo and folks like you who voted on it, Adam.
Well, I stopped doing it after the second year.
I would get rid of this thing tomorrow if I had the power. But the history of it bars us from doing that. But I would get rid of it tomorrow because I think the only poll we ever need to see from here on out, and especially when we expand,
yes,
is that poll.
All right, can I ask? I was going to get there anyway, but you led me to it, and then we'll get back to the Wolfpack and the Tar Heels and things like that.
All right.
So we're going to go to 12. Theoretically, it would be great if we could get there once we've announced it, once we figured it out, what it's going to look like. It would be great if we can get there sooner rather than later, not wait till after 25, 26, but get to it after 24. But the prevailing thought was that because Jack Swarbrick is on that four-person committee, along with then Bob Bowlesby and I believe Greg Sankey and Craig Thompson, that Notre Dame had set themselves up to always be in the playoff, and I kept saying the following: we are projecting things on Notre Dame that recent history tells us is not true.
Correct.
So with 12 teams in the playoff and six automatic qualifying conferences, the way it's been set up, what do you think it will take to be one of the six at-large teams? How many wins will it take to be one of those six to get in the playoff? And my feeling is if it's 10, then before this run of Brian Kelly, Notre Dame in about 25 years would have qualified four times.
That's correct.
So and they haven't set themselves up for anything.
Well, no, and by joining a league, they're not even helping themselves. See, that's the thing. Now we've gotten to the point where it's 12, not 16. If this thing had gone to 16, bigger conversation, right?
Sure.
12, different story, and that's where it's going to go. Couple things about the playoff expansion. One, why will we not get there sooner than later? Because the calendar won't let us. And it's not the television calendar, it's the functionality calendar. Because the one thing that people are not talking about and not understanding, because again, it's a little bit like conference realignment. It's sexy to sit around and talk about, well, sure, I wish my school were in this league and your school were in that league and all that, until somebody says, by the way, there's a grant of rights, and people then, you know, pour gas over
Oops.
Their head, right? The reason we're not going to get there any quicker is because we've got to figure out calendars. And the calendar probably means, and nobody really wants to hear this, probably means that the college football season in the ACC has to back up. Like week zero becomes week one. It really becomes the first week of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some college campuses and some infrastructure places in Power Five where that's a thing.
Sure.
You know, so you've got to look at the calendar. And that's the reason. One, the biggest reason, in my opinion, we're not going to get there sooner than later.
Who's going to broadcast the games? I know ESPN. ESPN has the exclusive rights, right?
They do, yes. And as one of the employees of the functioning network that does have those rights, I will refrain from saying anything else regarding the copyrights and the rights holders, if you will.
All right, let's go back. This is something that could hijack an entire hour, and we don't have that much time with Wes Durham. We've only got about 5 or so minutes left, and I appreciate his time on what I'm sure is a glorious Tuesday afternoon. By the way, which game are you going to be at this weekend?
I'm doing brunch. I have 11 a.m. kick. Wofford at Virginia Tech. The Terriers have yet to reach the end zone. In fact, the Terriers have yet to scratch in two games. Losses to Chattanooga and Mighty Elon.
Right.
So Wofford goes to Blacksburg. They play for the first time. And that is an 11 a.m. kick. And I will say this. Part of the reason I'm doing that game is because I'm in Los Angeles the next day. So the
that's right.
ESPN and the ACC Network are nice enough the next 2 weeks to work with me on my Sunday obligations, which require me, given the, knock on wood, the precision with which the commercial airline industry has been working here lately. I mean, knock hard on wood.
Yes.
That I'm going to be able to do both an L.A. game this Sunday and in Seattle a week from Sunday.
Private plane.
Yeah, it'd be nice. It'd be nice if I could find that tab.
I'm sure Jimmy Pitaro will take care of you, Wes Durham.
I don't. It says Durham on the screen, not Herb Street, not Aikman, not Buck.
Fowler would get the
Fowler. It doesn't say Fowler either.
Absolutely.
It doesn't say Fowler. It doesn't say Tessitore. Doesn't say Jordan Rogers. It doesn't say any of those things.
Awesome. All right.
It says Durham, like the city, Adam.
Let's talk about North Carolina real quick.
Okay.
I'm not surprised, but it's a little discouraging that they've given up so many yards and points.
Sure.
You know, I think we saw a little bit of that even against Florida A&M. The App UNC game was bonkers.
Spectacular.
Great TV. And the Tar Heels are great TV. If they can clean that up a little bit, man, the potential for this team this year, and they're a problem for Notre Dame, aren't they?
Yes, they are, because Notre Dame is incredibly limited on offense. They're really good up front defensively. I'm not sure how they are in the back. I think that's really the unknown. Mm-hmm. They lost Kyle Hamilton. They lost a lot.
Yep.
But I think their defensive line is really, really good. For me, and I know a lot of people are kind of bobbing and weaving that this feels like Larry Fedora and, you know, the score a minute offense and do all these other, it doesn't feel like that to me. It feels like Gene Chizik is got a growth plate here. They got to coach him a little harder. They got to put him in better spots. I think they're, you know, you got to get a little tougher in the offensive line to run the ball more efficiently. And everybody say, and Jeremy Sharp's going to call me and say, wait, we're running it. Yes, you're running it. But I need to see the two-way game. I don't need to meet Drake May, you know, gear shifting, if you will.
Yeah.
I'm excited about where Carolina's going. I'm excited about all four North Carolina schools as it relates to their future in the ACC. Because I actually think the slow start at NC State's a good thing. And I know they put 55 on Charleston Southern and lived to tell about it in Greenville. But I actually think I see a lot of maturity in that football team. And watching the cut-ups from Saturday, I see a team that went out there and handled business and understood. Devin, I'm sure, wants to hit a higher percentage of passes. Yeah. But in all honesty, everything around him except those guys in front of him are new. You know? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot of new there. And so let's see where this goes. I'm kind of bullish on Carolina State for sure. Wake, now that Hartman's back, I am, because I think Brad Lambert's the right guy to fix that defense. And then I got to be honest with you, the vibe in Durham is impressive. And I don't know what it's ultimately going to mean, Adam.
Right.
But I just like the whole thing that Mike Elko's brought to the table. And, you know, I'm a Riley Leonard fan. I appreciate the fact he can dunk it about six ways to Sunday. and he can throw it pretty good, too. And I just kind of like where they are as a football team.
They've got – I think their back seven is really good on defense.
Duke, you mean?
Duke, yeah. And I'm just blown away that Jordan Moore looks this good as a go-to, maybe not the number one option, although he might be ultimately, but as a reliable, especially the red zone, that touchdown catch, that's a pro catch that he made.
Yeah.
And the guy he's still listed as a quarterback.
Well, you ought to hear Kevin Johns tell the story. He said, well, we knew he was a quarterback, and we put him out there and let him run a couple of routes, and we thought, oh, okay, well, let's see what happens. It's kind of it's almost like Thomas Edison figuring out how to get the light to come on, you know? I mean, Jordan Moore is that kind of guy, but I think here's the hook, and I'm going to go to guys like Monk being able to go play center, Dwayne Carter being an old guy. You mentioned the back seven, Shaka Hayward, Jalen Stinson.
Yep.
you got enough there that has been through the downturn, right?
Yep.
That, and, you know, sometimes, and I'll, you know, relate it to say it's like the, you know, changing in the pastor at your church. Sometimes the message delivered the same by a different voice is not a bad thing.
Yep.
And Mike Elko's brought the right thing to the table. And he knows. Here's the other thing, too. And I'll give you the Alabama to Georgia analogy. Kirby Smart brought to Athens the blueprint from Tuscaloosa, mm-hmm. right? Well, Mike Elko brought to Durham the blueprint from Winston-Salem.
Mm-hmm.
And if you told Duke fans in 7 or 8 years your program might be as consistent as Wake Forest, would any of them be mad? No.
Gosh, they'd no. sign up tomorrow.
Absolutely.
Yesterday.
And see, and I think that's the thing you have to understand is that while a lot of people can have success and you can see some turns, every once in a while, Auburn, every once in a while, Nebraska, you got to settle in.
Yeah.
You just got to settle in and grin and bear it. And guess who's grinning and bearing it and is starting to start upward? Florida State.
Yep. No question.
That's
right.
What it is.
I got two quick things for Western before we have to say goodbye. First of all, because as you referenced Wake Forest, how come I don't see Dave Clawson's name mentioned at Nebraska?
Because it's not sexy.
Because I would hire him I would try to hire him so fast if I was Trev Alberts.
Okay, fine. But you got to be willing to understand the, hey, by the way, Wake Forest done everything right to make Dave Clawson their football coach.
I'm not saying Clawson would take it, but they're going to be able to offer $8 million a year.
Okay, fine. Fine. And so. I don't know. Dave Clawson's never, not to say he won't, but has Dave Clawson ever been the head coach at a really, really big school?
No. Well, Wake. Nebraska
Richmond,
is the live golf of the of college football.
Oh, you said it before I could.
I mean, they're going to be able to overpay for not so great a product.
But if Scott Frost doesn't work, what will?
Oh, nothing. Nothing. But you could retire in 4 years and
had to go to the Big Ten, didn't you, Nebraska?
Be pretty good.
Texas, remember that.
Yeah, Paul, I said that right away after that move. Good.
Okay, go ahead.
Welcome.
What's the next one?
The next one is Miami's trip to A&M. I'm not saying that this is how the ACC is going to be remembered in the early going.
It's going to be close.
But it really is, because this is one of the up-and-coming programs, what the ACC needs to be, you know, among the top 10 or 15 every year. And it's a great opportunity. And if App can go there and dominate the line of scrimmage like they did, mm-hmm. can Miami do that?
Well, first of all, you have to imagine that A&M wasn't incredibly interested or distracted by the thought of the Mountaineers coming in, because you probably had to show them where it was on a map.
Gosh.
Okay.
You did watch college football, right?
But Carolina doesn't move the needle in Texas at Texas A&M. Now, the coaches can coach all they want, but at the end of the day, they knew. Jimbo's not stupid. Among a lot of things, Jimbo's not stupid, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Jimbo knew how good that team Sean Clark had was.
Yep.
All right? So you can take that, you can move it, but sometimes 18 to 22 does not get it, or 18 to 24 in today's college
football. Right, it's true.
So now all of a sudden they will be interested Saturday night. You know why they'll be interested? Because it'll all be forgotten if they wipe out Miami.
Right.
Now Miami, their challenge, Adam, is they cannot go play a first half against Southern Miss like they played the other day. That can't happen.
I watched
that. They got to go to College Station, and Tyler Van Dyke goes to a stage he's never been on, ever. Bottom line.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be a blast.
And if Mario Cristobal wants to put Miami on that fast track, you annihilate those cats Saturday night.
How about just win by one?
I'll take that. But if you want to get on the fast track, if we want Miami to be a thing this year, you annihilate those cats.
West Durham, I hope that you are in Los Angeles in time to watch this game. The Wofford Virginia Tech game, which starts at 11 o'clock on the ACC network. I hope you're in L.A. by 8.
I'm scheduled to land in Los Angeles at 1 o'clock Eastern time.
Sunday. 1 o'clock Eastern time? A.M.?
1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh,
Eastern time, Sunday morning.
All right.
Okay,
well,
it's all good. Game's at 4 Eastern.
Good luck.
I'm good.
Wi-Fi. You got a phone, you got a laptop, you're all set. Wes Durham, you are the best, my friend.
See you, AG. Take care, bud. Always fun.
Oh, man, look, he's so handsome on TV. All right, we got to do this more often. All right. Have we reached the half? I believe we have.
And Your halftime entertainment.
Always so fun to talk to Wes.
Ah, gosh, the time flies.
I know. Well, you know, in case you didn't know, because I'm going to be honest, I didn't. Last night was the 74th Emmy Awards ceremony that was held in Los Angeles. Yesterday was just the first Monday Night Football game for me. So, right. You know, but to some, it was an Emmy night. And I don't like to waste my time when it comes to, you know, watching a good series or a bad series because, you know, we just don't got time for that. So If you were curious, some of the ones that won Outstanding Drama Series, maybe you've seen some of these shows.
Probably not.
Better Call Saul.
I've not watched that. I've heard it's great.
It is good. I can tell you. Yeah. Ozark, also good.
Have not seen it.
Squid Games, a little disturbing, but good.
Squid Games?
Yes.
I've heard about it. Have not watched it.
Does not sound fun and pleasant like the name. Don't let that fool you. Stranger Things, of course, because duh, it wins everything. Then also comedy series, Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Mm-hmm.
Ted Lasso, which a friend of mine keeps telling me I need to watch. And I
don't have Apple TV, but I've... Like, as a brand new, huge fan of football.
Right.
it's a show I really need to watch.
Yes, absolutely. Then some called Barry Hacks. I don't know. But these are all shows that apparently you should watch because they're good. They won awards. So, I don't know. I guess maybe we can trust those people making decisions. Who knows?
I don't know who you can trust.
Me. You can trust me, Adam.
I can trust you.
Yes. Next, moving on to very important things. What are the best cities for beer lovers?
Raleigh, North Carolina. Actually, I think the real answer is Asheville, North Carolina. No offense to our friends. We live in Raleigh. Well, no offense to Raleigh.
It's funny that you say that because Asheville did make it on the list.
Asheville's just amazing.
It is. It's beautiful. There's good beer and good food.
Tremendous.
Interesting people to watch. So there's that too.
Parts of Asheville smell like patchouli too, which it is.
They do. I see no lies.
Yeah.
Then also the next one. So that actually came in the top 10. That was number 7 on the list.
Asheville was 7th?
Number 7.
Okay.
And Myrtle Beach came in at 10, surprisingly.
What?
I know.
I mean, they don't have their own beer.
Right.
I mean, they might. But I don't
know. People like to drink a lot of beer down there, I'm sure, but I don't know how that happened. So the top 3 are Chicago, Portland, and Milwaukee.
Well,
a little interesting, but drink a lot of beer, eat a lot of cheese curds. That's what I've
said. I guess, yes. Oh, man. Raleigh's a good beer town. I've mentioned this before. I'm a big fan of Gizmo, which is in Raleigh.
I have not had that.
Gizmo is, just if you can find it. I buy in grocery stores mostly.
Yeah.
Gizmo, very good, but Asheville's got...
Yeah, oh yeah.
New Belgium's got a hub in Asheville and Highland.
So many different things. Oviez and I both are similar on the... I don't really like seltzers, hard seltzers.
I don't like any kind
of seltzers, but if I had to have some, Fruit Smash from... They're actually from out there, New Belgium, and it's really good.
Fruit Smash.
Yep, it's called Fruit Smash.
All right, if I'm going to have... A beer-ish thing?
Yeah. Yes.
It's going to be beer.
Yeah. Why not have
beer-flavored
beer?
I'll drink two of them and I'll be done.
Yeah. Well, that perfect idea.
I'm a cheap date.
Well, there you go. This, not so cheap date. Do you like cereal? Are you a cereal person?
I used to be.
Back in the day.
I'm no longer a cereal person, but I used to be.
I think this is a terrible idea. Kellogg's is coming out with a new single-serving Instabowls of cereal. Or get this. This is really gross. I'm sorry if you're drinking lunch. You can eat cereal and they have powdered milk in it and you add water. Yep, you heard that right. No milk. It's just powdered. Add water.
No. Thanks.
Desperate times. Do not call for desperate measures. No, thank you. And moving on. I do not play this game, but I know somebody does out there. Fortnite is coming out with a new season September 18th.
Are they?
They are. And apparently it's supposed to look like the last one that they came out with called Vibin previous seasons. But this one's going to be different. So don't worry if you're a big Fortnite fan. It'll be different. But I don't play Fortnite, so I can't really tell. I know that people do a lot of dancing called flossing, or that used
they
to be
do,
a thing.
But that's where the flossing came from, apparently. Yeah, and the outfits are called skins.
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, they have like a bus that floats around.
My son played for, he doesn't play anymore, but He played for like 2 years as a woman.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Hey,
whatever.
Why not?
Do
why
whatever
not?
You want.
I know it consumes a lot of time for people. So just right. in case you were wondering and you wanted to know, September 18th, new season, Fortnite.
Okay.
They're that just is, making money hand over fist there.
That is that is exciting.
Yes. That's it.
All right. Not are do you are you a video gamer in other ways?
If I am, I'm an old school Super Mario Brother person.
Oh, okay.
Give me Sega. Give me like the duck Whoa. Game with the oh yeah.
What the
Oh yeah, the hunt one where
Duck
you,
Hunt?
Yes. Yes.
So I'd never heard of Duck Hunt ever. And then in the first year the Hurricanes got back to the playoffs.
This episode is brought to you by Samsung. Unfold the all-new Galaxy Z Fold 4 and expand your world. With Flex Mode, it stands on its own, so you're hands-free to get more done during calls. And with multi-window view, you can use up to 3 apps at the same time. Plus, the edge-to-edge screen allows you to fully immerse yourself in your favorite games and shows. Visit Samsung.com to learn more about Galaxy Z Fold 4.
They were doing the storm surges.
Uh-huh.
They don't really do storm surges anymore.
No.
They do the skull clap, and then they just wave their sticks in the air, which is fine.
Around.
You don't have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
But they did them that 1 year, and they come up with Duck Hunt, and I had never heard of it. Like, what the hell are they doing? I have no idea what they're doing. Oh, it's Duck Hunt.
It's
I'm
a
like,
thing.
Okay. I don't know what that is. But,
yes.
Yeah, so that's...
They're appealing to us like 80, 90s kids.
Very old school mm-hmm. video game. I go back to Pong.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Hey, well, I can't say anything. I do have a Ms. Pac-Man machine in my house. So,
seriously?
Oh, I do. I have a whole game room.
Like
I'm
the
a nerd.
One where you sit down and it's the...
No, it's like an arcade game. Legit. It's got like the scratches from where Betty and Johnny were like dating. And
are you
16,
really? Are you
100%,
serious?
100%.
Did you buy that or did...
Uh-huh.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Now what I would get, see, I wouldn't do it Ms. Pac-Man. I would get an old school pinball machine.
Oh, well, Adam, you just need to come to the house.
You have one too?
Yes. And a Galaga machine. That's not old, though. That's a newer one.
Well, like, but... you have a legit pinball machine?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I love pinball. Speaking of Asheville, they have a pinball museum out there, and I legit can spend all day. Beer, pinball.
Gotta go.
Yes. Good trip.
I mean, that was, I mean, I'm significantly older than you, but that was my youth.
Yes.
I actually remember, like, it was a quarter, and you'd get, not only, you'd get 2 plays for a quarter, and then, invariably, it would knock at the end. You'd get, you'd match the last, in the 10 spots, you'd match that number, and you'd get a free game.
Yep, when you hear that.
Play mm-hmm. for 30 minutes on a quarter.
Yeah.
Can't do that anymore.
If you're good, that says how good you are.
Yeah, I mean, I was okay. I wasn't from, you know, from the Who song. I wasn't the pinball wizard, but I mean, I could get around a pinball machine.
There you go.
There were pinball machines with 2 balls in play at the same time.
Oh, multi-ball thing?
Yeah,
yep.
Let's have it.
Let's go.
Let's have a little flipper at the top.
Can't sleep on that.
Very good. Sergio Garcia got fined today by the European Tour for skipping out on the tournament that he played the first round in. The European event this week was there. Essentially, if you are a golf fan, you know what the Players' Championship is. This event on the European Tour is their version of the Players' Championship. It is the signature event on that tour. It's not a major, just like the Players' Championship in the United States is not a major, at least yet. Anyway, so they play the first round, most of the first round, and then the queen passes away. So they just stop play as soon as the news broke that the queen had passed. And there were, I don't know, 12 or so groups still on the course. And they canceled play on Friday. They ultimately shortened the event to 54 holes. Saturday afternoon, Sergio is being played in England, in just outside of London. Saturday afternoon, Sergio, who lives in Austin, Texas, is on the field when Alabama is playing at Texas. He's watching a college football game. So he withdrew from the event, and the European Tour is mad because Sergio withdrew for non-medical reasons. He just decided, hey, I got tickets. I got a field pass. I'm going. I'm going to watch Alabama play Texas, which I can get with, and I think most of us can get with, but the DP World Tour doesn't care about college football. And they're going to find Sergio Garcia, whatever they're going to find Sergio Garcia. And frankly, he can afford it. They're not going to find him so much that he's going to get, well, man, I really shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Slap on the wrist.
The relationship between Sergio and the DP World Tour is not fantastic. All right. Let's place bets. See where we are.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are. I bet this guy's into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death! Okay, you can owe me. I owe you one.
Woof. Yesterday was bad for
How
me.
Bad was it? Was it really bad?
Oh,
you had,
yeah,
you had the Broncos
terrible.
Plus minus 6.5, right?
Yeah.
That didn't work out.
Nope. That didn't work. The Mets decided to lose last night.
Yeah, I was afraid of that. I was afraid of the Mets. I think the Mets will probably win tonight, but I'm trying to find something interesting about that game. I did have the Giants beating the Braves in San Francisco last night. And what I did with the Mets last night, I picked Francisco Lindor to hit a home run.
Yeah.
Mets only scored 2 runs, but one of them was a Lindor homer.
You knew it.
I'm at plus 5,400. It's been a good stretch. Like, I'm not saying that you should jump on the wagon,
right. Right. Maybe I should.
It's,
I'm going to have to start doing it that way now.
It's not my money.
Right.
So,
would you call them units? Is that what
Yeah, they're all units. Okay. I haven't placed, I was telling this to our friend Joe Giglio, who you do a
bet video
gambling video with every week.
Terrible last week.
I have not placed a wager on a game.
Yeah.
Since I was in Las Vegas 13 years ago.
Okay. It's hard to put money down on stuff.
Yeah, and I probably wouldn't do the things that I am doing now if I was actually reaching into my pocket and pulling cash out.
Oh, no.
To do it. I would probably not do that, but...
No.
I mean, if you're inclined...
Right.
I am plus 5,400 on the year. All right, you start.
Nice. Okay, well, so yesterday I put thought into it. Today, complete opposite. Not putting any thoughts.
Good.
Digging in the bowl. Picking them out. San Diego Padres. We'll go with them. Plus 152.
Who are the Padres playing?
They are playing the Seattle Mariners.
Oh, it's in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
This is a... okay, I like that.
Yeah.
There's a little
risky
value and a team that is... You got two playoff teams right there. Two wild card teams. The Padres very, very close to being eliminated in the... in the division. So, that... Pretty much, how much do they want to hang on in that one? All right, I'm going to go to Champions League. We do midweek.
Yeah,
we got baseball or we have football.
Yeah,
and we're going to go Champions League. Sporting Tottenham draw.
Okay,
it's plus two something off. Or plus three something. I'll get the number on it in a second.
Okay.
Sporting Tottenham draw.
Well, hey, I trust you. I know about one football, not the other football, so I trust your opinion on that one.
No, you don't. don't even lie.
Okay. Well, my next one is Minnesota Twins plus 105. They're playing the Kansas City Royals tonight.
That must be in Kansas City if Minnesota's a road underdog, because Kansas City's not very good. Minnesota's kind of fading a little bit. They had fallen. I think they got swept at home by Cleveland last weekend.
I'm hoping they're coming for the bounce back.
They need to, because they're really falling out of it. The only chance they have of making the playoffs is to catch the Indians. I'm sorry. My fault. The Guardians, which is just...
The Guardians.
The Guardians is as dumb a name as the Commandos.
Yes. Yeah. We should call them, like, the Guardians of the Galaxy or something ridiculous.
You know, the Cleveland Guardians are a roller derby team.
Oh, wow.
That is just not even not even a joke. All right, let's go against my own interest here.
Okay.
Liverpool, my side, is a mess. They lost last week at Napoli 4-1. Now, Napoli's pretty good. They are hosting Ajax, top team in the Dutch league, today. Liverpool is a favorite.
No.
Ajax plus 420.
Oh.
To really shock Liverpool.
Wow.
Today. Ajax plus 420. I have no confidence at all in my own team.
Right, but look at you throwing it out there.
I am betting against my own interest here. Ajax plus 420.
All right, last one for me. Baltimore Orioles plus 105 against the Washington Nationals.
Gosh, I want the Orioles to figure it out.
Yes,
so
I know.
Badly. All
I
right,
know.
Mets Cubs today.
Oof.
Let's go crazy. There will be a grand slam in the game tonight at plus 1,000.
Wow.
A grand slam at plus 1,000. No chance of that happening. But if it does, it's fun.
It's
right?
Big, yeah.
It's fun if it happens.
If Schwarber was still at the Cubs, maybe.
It's like he's been on four teams since the Cubs.
Yeah.
He went Washington, Boston, and now is with Philly. He's having a good year for Philly, by the way. Yeah, that's a... I remember that Cubs lineup. They were loaded. Schwarber, Rizzo... Bryant Soler,
my favorite.
Who was with the Cubs, rather with the Braves last year.
This is the Adam Gold Show.